Year three today marks 3 years since Russia invaded Ukraine. Hard to believe it's 3 years and more than 1 million casualties, including both sides.
Zelensky said yesterday, if it meant global peace, but resolution and peace between our two nations, I would resign today. Trump should get a ceasefire deal established today, and then say, "You're a man of your word. You're going to resign now."
Yeah. Well, now that he's rich.
Yeah. Well, now yeah.
Eek. My news was better, by the way, about
the Led Zeppelin.
I agree. I actually care more about Led Zeppelin than I do Zelensky.
Thank you.
So we do have some disturbing news, and this is really, you know, I'll begin in South Jersey with, you know, the term over the weekend, officer down, was the radio call in Pennsylvania and New Jersey and the nation, quite frankly. But in South Jersey, we have an officer this morning in critical condition. We're told he was on duty. Camden County police officer stabbed in the neck in what authorities are calling a senseless act. This stabbing happened outside of a grocery store, Duran Grocery, right at the intersection of Broadway and Chestnut Streets in Camden. 28-year-old officer in critical condition. His condition has been stabilized this morning. He is in the good hands of those doctors at Cooper University Hospital, but officials say the victim has a lot of challenges ahead in his road to recovery. They're asking everyone to please keep the officer and his family in your prayers this morning. By the way, the accused attacker ID'd as a 38-year-old suspect, Richard Dennis. He is charged with attempted murder in connection to this stabbing, unprovoked stabbing, by the way, aggravated assault, many other offenses alleged here. Officials say as far as the attacker, his last known address was Lindenwald in Camden County, but they say at this point, this is a homeless man who committed this. So we'll continue to follow that one. Prayers for the officer. And I believe they're holding a news conference this morning to update us as well. And then here in Pennsylvania, another call for prayers, another call for officer down after Officer Andrew Duarte. He was killed in the line of duty. He was killed, five others injured during this shooting that happened inside a Pennsylvania hospital. That suspect identified as 49-year-old Diogenes Arcangel Ortiz, 49 years old, stormed the hospital over the weekend, and he was armed with a handgun as well as bringing zip ties. So he shot a doctor, a nurse, a custodian. They're in stable condition. He also fired, and this is a UPMC hospital there in West Yorkborough. The community there is dealing with the loss of this hero officer, 30 years young, his mom, Nancy, speaking out, saying this is her only child, not only her only son, but her only child, Officer Andrew Duarte. Over the weekend, oh my goodness, there were nurses, doctors, family members, but one nurse in particular putting out on social media, you know, to God bless this hero, Officer Duarte, who literally put himself in the line and saved many lives.
Yeah, I saw Temple University's police department tweet over the weekend, not only the two stories that you've highlighted so far, but also a third one in Virginia with officers down in the line of duty. I'm just going to guess here because I read a little bit of this York story. Maybe a former disgruntled employee at the hospital would be just a total guess here. Why anybody decides to rush into a hospital and start shooting it up.
Yeah, they're saying the man was there weeks earlier. They're not saying if Ortiz was an employee. He was holding a nurse at gunpoint, and those officers did fire and get off a shot and kill that suspect. But they said that he was there, Nick, a few weeks ago.
Could be another disgruntled Luigi Mangione type.
Something to that nature.
Perhaps denied health care or whatever.
Mm-hmm. But just a real tragedy for that, the officer's family, as well as the hospital not taking in patients. I mean, very shaken up, as you can imagine. And then prayers here in our region and around the world for Pope Francis, who remains in critical condition this morning. So we know the latest update for the Pope. He was given 2 units of these concentrated red blood cells. They're saying that this looks like that helped his hemoglobin level, but he has low white blood cells, needed the oxygen therapy, and as well, he has those low platelets. I know you didn't. You send us a picture. Weren't you and your wife giving?
Yeah, you guys want to see this? How about this? You know, yesterday I try to do good work in the community. Try to be a nice charitable Christian. I go out there and donate plasma. My wife and I for a good cause at our daughter's dance studio because plasma is something that these pharmaceutical companies really, really covet to put into medicine to help you fight a disease or battle an illness. And what do I get? I get a blown vein for my troubles. Oh, yeah,
so
yeah.
A little swollen.
I look like I got hit by an uppercut from Mike Tyson.
Oof. Well,
From the needle?
From the needle, yeah. They didn't, wow. The lady was like, I'm sorry, I didn't have the right angle of attack on your vein. Well, the attack word you got covered correctly, yes. I do look like I was attacked by a Doberman.
You should sue.
I should.
Oh, stop. In Rome, we have to talk about this American Airlines passenger plane with Italian Air Force fighter jets escorting the passenger plane to Leonardo da Vinci Rome in Fiumicino Airport, where I was last year. It did land safely, but apparently there was this bomb threat received by email, and so they had the fighter jets accompany this. Safe landing, thank God. 199 passengers on the plane, 15 crew members. So it was they landed in Rome, and then they're searching the plane, just making everything's kosher, and then this morning it's taking off for New Delhi.
A bomb threat mid-flight on the plane?
Yes.
Sounds like a Harrison Ford thriller.
The thing about it is, it does, but the thing about it is, it was supposed to be going to India, but the officials there said, oh no, it's not coming here.
Right.
You're not going to land here.
That's
come
correct.
Near us.
Yeah. And no, bomb threats are not up at an increased rate throughout the country and throughout the planet, folks. We debunked that mystery last week on airlines and their close calls.
Yes.
And disasters.
Everybody's safe on that one. Nick will get into, of course, there's a lot of news. Cash Patel, Dan Bongino, U.S. aid workers on leave.
How about that? How about that last night?
I know.
Late at night.
So is he going to do a show from noon to three?
I'll tell you what. I'm going to, Anna, you know me. I hold people accountable. You want to talk a big game, back it up, right?
Yeah.
I'm all for talking trash as long as you can deliver and back it up. All right, Bongino, you're no longer doing the big podcast, number two on the charts.
He was a Secret Service guy for
yes,
a while.
Yes, so. Secret Service, NYPD.
That's how he started, right?
Yeah. But let's go. All right, you and Cash. Let's go. I want to see it.
I can't imagine he's going to still do that show. I mean, he couldn't, right?
No. I think it's too much of a conflict.
Sure.
I would say it's an internal conflict as to, dude, why are you giving up that kind of cash to work for the government? Zero chance if I'm making Bongino money, I'm going to go be Cash Patel's coffee guy. No shot. That's just me.
I don't know. We have a lot of news. It's in the world of sports, it's great as far as our Philadelphia Phillies. Baseball is back.
Did you feel it, Dawn?
Officially spring.
Did you feel it yesterday at 58 degrees?
It's going to be.
We're almost there, right?
It's going to be in the 50s all this week.
Let's go.
Woo.
Yes. Yeah.
But we did get some tough news over the weekend.
Tough.
With injuries. And I'm not just talking about Joel Embiid, right?
I feel for him.
I thought we were going to do the Eagles story.
And Eagles, too? I was going to talk about Joel. Well, I was thinking about Joe Conklin.
Who cares? Joel Embiid. I want to talk about the...
Yeah, Dawn, you should be ticked off about this. The Eagles are rejecting...
Oh,
you know what?
Are we surprised?
I am, yes. I did say a few weeks ago when they won, and even leading up to it, I think we talked about it before the Super Bowl, where we framed it, if they did win, would they do what they did not do 7 years ago? And I said, yeah, I think the atmosphere and the climate is a little different this time around with Trump being more mainstream.
By the way, Dawn, just because you don't like this story doesn't mean you can't report it in the news.
All right. Well, if you haven't
unbiased
heard...
Unbiased journalist.
If you haven't heard of the Philadelphia Eagles, is it official? Because it's reported, and that's another piece of this. I don't have when I get the call from Jeff Lurie, that's official. But Philadelphia Eagles reportedly have said that they've made their White House visit decision, and looks like they're allegedly not going to visit. But I don't have anything official.
How does the Sun beat everybody locally to that story?
By the way, I don't think you're correct on that, sir. I think the Sun story was from the very beginning of February.
I saw the date being February 9th.
Fourth.
Or I think it was. Was it the 4th?
Yes.
Okay.
So I just think it was, I think it's, the rumors are out there on Twitter. But guys, I mean, we live in a democracy. They had a democratic vote. They said that they were going to let the players vote on it.
Absolutely.
The players decided not to, allegedly. We don't know.
Yep.
I know Dawn's still holding out hope that they're going to go.
I,
but, like, if the players don't want to go, they voted on it, then...
No, totally, totally, they're right. I thought they would, based on the fact that things are different this time around, that Trump is the, you know, the popular choice, so to speak. But I've been consistent with it. To me, when you look, and it's totally, you're right. I'm not criticizing you for not going and saying you should go. I view it as, whether it's your side or not, the chance to go to the White House, kind of a cool opportunity.
Yeah.
It's not something I would do every single time. I know people like Rich was there broadcasting last week. I'd like to broadcast from there one time, but it's like Radio Row for the Super Bowl with
me.
It
really is.
It's like one time I'm good. I don't need to do it five times.
Yeah, but okay, let me just give you an example. Mike Bonachetti with the autism fundraiser over the weekend, they raised over $170,000. Thank you for those of you who went to the Polar Plunge. And he was talking about the support from Philadelphia Eagles. Jeff Lurie, you have a young relative with autism. Why not make this an autism awareness piece? Is there a sensory room in the White House? So, like there is in now the Eagle Stadium. And so now that the White House is open and the tours are back, why not advocate for an autism sensory room?
Sure.
To make sure that especially kids or young people who go in with autism, that they, you know, why not make it an autism awareness type opportunity for the Philadelphia Eagles who have raised a ton of money and awareness for autism. Why not do that?
Valid point. I've seen so many NFL players publicly come out and say that they voted for Trump. I wouldn't be surprised. This is what I would do. If I was a player on this team, I'd go around. And if I was one of those guys who voted for Trump on the team, I'd go around. Because these guys all chit-chat and talk in the locker room. Hey, you voting for Trump? No, I'm voting for Harris. You voting for Harris? No, I'm voting for Trump. I'd gather all the guys that voted for Trump and take a road trip together. All 13 or 40 of the players.
They're supposed to be a team, though. So, like, don't you do what the team
does? Correct.
Yeah. I'm not defending it. I think if you're invited to the White House, no matter who the president is, no matter what side you're on, you should go.
Yeah.
Because it's you know, you're respecting the office. It's a whatever it is. But you know, they had a team vote, and the team said, what was the quote? A resounding no.
Yeah, it was pretty emphatic. It was very emphatic.
And that's... What was the source that had that, Kale?
The Sun first had it, and then I saw Eagles Nation tweeting about it last night.
Eagles Nation was the one I saw.
Is that a reputable Twitter account?
I mean, they have over 250,000 followers.
I'm not talking about followers. I mean, like, do they break news? Like,
I've never seen them share anything wrong. I don't know.
I don't get my news from Twitter.
I just don't know how anybody locally that covers the team hasn't reported this. Oh, you've got Jeff McClain at the Inquirer. You got John Clark at NBC Sports Philadelphia. You have all these people for all these that's their job, and they've got nothing on it.
Yeah, somebody said on the YouTube chat that we're like they're just contributing to the dividedness. I agree with that.
That's
like, there's no. I don't know. I just feel like it's such a dumb stance to take. You didn't vote for him.
But it doesn't infuriate me. This isn't like a Kaepernick kneeling situation where I'm not watching the Eagles because they didn't go to the White House. I'm going to keep watching them as long as they keep winning damn Super Bowls.
And by the way, look, if it turns out that this Eagles Nation report is wrong, then, you know, we'll say it. But
sure.
I didn't think that they were. Actually, I did. I kind of did think that they were going to go.
I did, too.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, they still may. This is alleged. It's basically a rumor.
Dawn is hoping.
And it's
You're so hoping.
It's not officially confirmed.
I can't imagine that your beloved Philadelphia Eagles would do something like this.
Because I think every moment like this is a great opportunity. And I'm really serious, Jeff Lurie. If you're watching, I know you're up this early.
Yeah.
Why not make this an opportunity
to P1.
Let Philadelphia shine, and especially with autism. I'm really serious.
Yeah.
The Eagles are out front on this issue, and families like my nephew and niece, Jeannie and Mike Bonachetti, Karamia and Mikey, two kids on the autism spectrum and one pretty severe. And they just really appreciate what the Eagles and Jeff Lurie have done.
Yep.
So I'm just saying, why not make this an opportunity bigger than yourselves, even bigger than your team?
Yeah, I agree.
The White House, to my knowledge, there aren't many federal buildings even with like sensory for kids on tours. Why not? Why not just make? Wow, that would be huge.
Why not just go because it's the White House and you go. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like
right.
How many? Think of how many. Don't think about yourselves. Mm-hmm. Think about the fans and think about how many of the Eagles fans voted for Trump and want to see you at the White. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like yeah. that's what you should go for. Yeah. Take your own dumb personal beliefs out of it and just do what's right for the team and for the city.
Turning down McDonald's as well. What a bunch of losers. You're really going to turn down cheeseburgers and soda?
Do you know, Friday night late after our great event in Westchester, David ordered McDonald's. I had a quarter pounder.
Did you really?
How good
Look
was it?
Look at you.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Was it
yeah?
just?
It's like been, I don't know how many decades what? Since I had fast food.
Was it
the best thing I ever had.
Was it orgasmic?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man.
It was so good. And we got to leave late.
You were guzzled.
Like,
give me those onions, those pickles,
so good,
ketchup,
quarter pounder,
mustard.
And I'll be starving myself.
Yeah. Look at you. You ate McDonald's, and I actually went home and did not stop off for a liquor store run or anything. It was like role reversal, Stensland. I went healthy, and you went rogue
with the burger.
Yeah.
Hey, we've got some beautiful weather for you. 53 today, 58 degrees tomorrow, 56 on Wednesday, and near 60 for your Thursday. So. Spring-like weather.
Can I ask if this report about the Eagles not going to the White House is true? Does this affect your fandom?
No. I couldn't care less.
Can we put up a poll question? I don't know how to. Can you help me wordsmith this, Kale?
The Eagles rejecting the White House. Are you out on the birds?
There you go.
Yes or no?
Can you put that...
610.
No. Can you put that up on the YouTube chat? YouTube.com/at1210WPG. I'm genuinely curious. You know what I mean? Like, does it... Do you want to separate your politics and your sports? Or do you... Or is this like an affront to you?
There's going to be a couple of crab apples in there that'll say yes.
Well, I mean, look, I said that I think it might be a slap in the face to a lot of the Eagles fans that voted for Trump, and there are a lot of them.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
If Eagles don't attend the White House, are you out on the birds?
Yeah.
Yes or no?
I would say there's probably at least 40% of Eagles fans that are Trump supporters, at least.
YouTube.com/at1210WPHD to vote.
There you go.
So the sun's going to rise in 20 minutes. Sunset at 5:47. We've got this beautiful crescent moon out there, but the days are getting longer. Spring is here. But, you know, it's a reminder for Meineke. When you step on your brakes, to hear that squeal or the grinding noise, don't wait. Take your car to your locally owned and operated Meineke, and their expert technicians are going to diagnose the problem. You can find a location near you, Meineke.com. Thank you, Meineke, for sponsoring Kale and Company News Live, First Edition.
All right, next poll question. What will happen first, the big take or the sunrise? The big take is on the other side as we continue. No, that was great. It's Kale and Company. Stay right there on a Monday on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app. The big take on Kale and Company.
Brought to you by Robert Half, the four F's and the big three, immunity, no more, free speech, fashion, formulas, and the feds. That's the backdrop of today's big take. The big three consisting of government, the Democrat Party, and the media no longer immune to criticism, defeat, and falling at the will of the people. American voters, Donald Trump, Elon Musk, taking a proverbial chainsaw to everything they hope to defeat in the 2024 election. And what started as a relatively routine weekend in late February quickly became Christmas in February. To many, Democrats like Jasmine Crockett spouting off anti-American views, the cackling hens on The View being told to dial back the Trump hatred by their own executive producer, NBC News settling a $30 million defamation lawsuit, and Joy Reid of MSNBC having her show canceled. And I will illustrate the difference here. I don't take joy in Robert McCabe, local IRS worker in Philadelphia who joined us Friday to talk about losing his job courtesy of Doge. I feel for people who live paycheck to paycheck who out of nowhere get whacked. I've been there. You've been there, I'm sure. It sucks. But it's also not the end of the world, and nobody is guaranteed employment forever. But I have far less sympathy for what I believe is a racist millionaire who speaks down to 99% of people who will be just fine when their bully pulpit dries up. See, I think here's the facts. It was once fashionable to be a MAGA basher. It was in vogue to bang on Trump. But just like everything else in the fashion world, it's cyclical. From stupid sunglasses to jeans to sneakers to hairstyles, one day it's hot. The next day, it's not. And The View, Joy Reid, Chuck Todd, Jim Acosta, Don Lemon, and other media hacks being shown the door is not an attack on free speech, but rather proof that the formula has expired. And the perception of lifetime employment at the federal level is also crashing and burning as reality hits these people upside the head. It's no longer the trendy thing to hate on America. It's no longer permissible to lie, defame, and slander people on mainstream media. And let's start with case in point, Jasmine Crockett, as well as NBC News. Here's the newest big mouth from the Democrat Party spouting off anti-American views on The Breakfast Club with Charlemagne. Listen and watch this.
You've been the one to call it out. The fact that I'm rooting for Canada and I'm rooting for Mexico a lot is really wild. But they are really the ones that are speaking truth to power right now. They can see what it is. And they were like, we are not messing with this crazy regime from Mar-a-Lago and basically calling them thugs. That's what it is. But I'm like, y'all knew who he was when y'all elected him. So don't act surprised.
Democrat or Republican, conservative or liberal, if you would ever root for Canada or Mexico in trade wars over the sitting president, you might want to check yourself. And there's a part of me that hopes that the Dallas, Texas district that Jasmine Crockett represents will vote her out as soon as possible. There's also another part of me that prays that she's the Democrat nominee for president in 2028, and J.D. Vance puts her out to political pasture in a rout. Maybe she'll end up on NBC because she's the kind of politician who would cost her company $30 million. News coming down at the end of last week that NBC Universal has agreed to settle a $30 million defamation lawsuit after its MSNBC hosts lied and said that a Georgia doctor was performing mass hysterectomies at an ICE facility during the first Trump administration. Those included in the lies were Rachel Maddow, Chris Hayes, and Nicole Wallace. The doctor, defamed by MSNBC, received death threats, bomb threats, and lost his job. They used these lies to say that Trump and ICE from 2017 to 2020 were Nazis. Next up on the Common Sense Chopping Block, ABC's The View. As the New York Post reported the following on Friday, quote, morale is low at The View after the hosts were asked to dial back their Trump criticisms. They go on to write, the fiery hosts at ABC News The View have faced pressure to dial back their anti-President Trump rhetoric, leading to tension in front of the cameras, the Post has learned. One source close to the show's co-hosts, Whoopi Goldberg, Joy Behar, Sonny Hostin, Sarah Haynes, Alyssa Farah Griffin, and Anna Navarro, said that the fear and loathing is partly because Brian Tata, the executive producer of the daytime Gab Fest, spoke to staffers about, quote, going easy on Trump-related commentary in the days leading up to the 47th president taking the oath of office. Since then, the outspoken hosts have been somewhat more careful, with Haynes admitting that she and her fellow panelists are, quote, out of touch with a large portion of America because none of them voted for Trump. More recently, Griffin admitted she agreed with some of Trump's policies while trying to convince Goldberg to find a middle ground with Trump supporters, end quote. Now, look, I am all for hosts and talent given a blank canvas to exercise their free speech and their opinions. But if your formula no longer works, maybe you take a clue from your producers who presumably have your best interest at heart. You read the room, you survey the landscape, and you realize you might need to change up your style to have success. But that's just me. One person who never had success was MSNBC race hustler Joy Reid, largely known for her anti-Trump, anti-white commentary, low ratings, but viral clips shared by alt news, like this show right here on the Cut Sheet, has also reached her expiration date. News coming down Sunday morning that MSNBC and Comcast have canceled her show. The 7 p.m. host will be replaced by a panel show, as the new host and the New York Post reports that new boss Rebecca Cutler will pull off a major overhaul of the network's lineup that could very well feature Jen Psaki. The final episode of The Readout will air this week. But I would just offer up a bit of advice, Joy, being openly racist on the air with zero room for doubt or interpretation. Not a good formula for sustainability. Remember this gem? Listen and watch.
Got to be honest and keep it real. This is not the pick that I expected that she would make. It did come down to the final three, as we understand it. And I thought she would go astronaut. Keeping it real. He, to me, would have been the safest, most conventionally safe pick. White, super white, like, you know, mayonnaise sandwich on Wonder Bread, right? From the, you know, from a border state, he could have made a strong argument for her.
White, super white, mayonnaise on Wonder Bread white. That was Joy Reid's astute commentary last July on Kamala Harris selecting Tim Walz as her VP over Mark Kelly, the astronaut and senator from Arizona. But see, here's the truth, folks. This is what happens, and this is why it's all coming to an end. Analysis through only one lens, being identity politics, is going to eventually crash and burn. That's what Joy Reid was all about. She was an Al Sharpton race grifter, where her intellect and commentary on any subject started with and ended with the race or the gender of the subject in which she was talking about. Not the merit, not the character, not the results, not the policy, but the race or the gender. The optics. Another losing recipe for cultivating and gathering an audience: calling people Hitler and Nazis. Here's a little more of Joy Reid's best of. Listen and watch.
Begin our final sprint, having arrived at that point in the election season where basically we on this side of the TV screen have said all we can. We've laid out the stakes in this crucial election where one side stands for freedom while the other meets the textbook definition of fascism, namely a far-right dictatorial regime like Hitler's Germany or Franco's Spain or Mussolini's Italy, but also white-ruled South Africa before Mandela and the black majority took control, or Vladimir Putin's Russia, Viktor Orban's Hungary, or Nicolas Maduro in Venezuela today, that suppresses the rights of women and minorities, uses the military to execute the whims of a strongman dictator, and controls and suppresses the press, education, the arts, rewrites history to suit a favored and dominant racial class, and foments extravagant corruption in order to enrich the dictator and his friends.
Joy Reid, on a consistent basis, when you look at the three major networks, would routinely be outside of the top 15 in primetime ratings. Folks, there's only about 4 hours of primetime window viewing television, and there's only three or four networks that pop up in the ratings. And she lost 53% of her audience for the last 4 months since the November 5th election. One trick pony. You gotta have multiple gears. And when it wasn't about race or Hitler or fascism, it was often poor analogies and poor comparisons. Like coming down with COVID and dealing with the virus somehow compares to being shot and almost assassinated. Never forget this amazing piece of television analysis. Listen and watch.
Question that I have on that. These two men are both elderly. Donald Trump is an elderly man who, for whatever reason, was given 9 seconds to take an iconic photo op during an active shooter situation. Weird situation. We'll figure that out one day. But his survival of that and bouncing right back and going right to his convention is being conveyed in the media world as a sign of strength. This current president of the United States is 81 years old and has COVID. Should he be fine in a couple of days? Doesn't that convey exactly the same thing? That he's strong enough, older than Trump, to have gotten something that used to really be fatal to people his age. So if he does fine out of it and comes back and is able to do rallies, isn't that exactly the same?
I mean,
it's not exactly the same. It's not the same incident, but it's an elderly man coming through out of an illness.
It's not even close. COVID versus being shot in the head is not even in the same textbook. One day we will figure out how Joy Reid was ever given a valuable piece of media real estate, but here's a hint. She was promoted in the fallout of the George Floyd aftermath. She didn't become the 7 o'clock host until July 9th, 2020. When did the riots happen? May and June. What happened after that? A bunch of white liberals felt the need to get woke and pander to less than qualified talent for a mere social credit score. That's what the last 4 years was about. Ditching meritocracy for the sake of ESG scores. But it's not just about the Democrats. It's not only about legacy media. It's also about the feds. Personal accountability. Personal responsibility. Are you doing your job? Are you performing? Are you delivering results for your employer? I rest my head with ease for my nap and at bedtime, knowing I gave it all I had every single day and the results show. So why should federal government workers be any different than myself, Dawn, or Greg? And now, they're not. Elon Musk saying this on social media on Saturday, all federal employees need to explain their work or be let go. The Doge Daddy saying that all employees will be receiving an email shortly as he requests to see and understand what they got done last week. A lack of response will be deemed as a resignation. It's like when you were in school and you had to show your work to your math teacher and you arrived at the answer. Remember, the answers were in the back of the textbook? You could, in theory, cheat. So your teacher wanted to see how you worked through the problem. You jotted down your work and you wrote down the answer. It's precisely what Musk and Doge are doing. Because at the end of the day, it is a new day, folks. The adults are back in charge, and nobody, and I mean nobody, is immune to criticism or consequences. This is the way it should be for all adults, regardless of race or gender, regardless if you're in the private or the public sector, in any walk of life. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
All right, Big Take brought to you by Robert Half. 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. Robert Half is here to help. Their recruiting professionals utilize an award-winning AI to connect businesses with highly skilled talent. At Robert Half, they know talent. Visit roberthalf.com/talent today. 855-839-1210, the number. We'll come back, get everybody's thoughts on the news from the Big Take, as well as hour number two. We'll be here before you know it, and we'll get into the latest COVID revelations. But first, a word from our friends at the Piazza Auto Group, and we are talking today specifically about the Honda Prologue. It is Honda's first all-electric SUV with a range of almost 300 miles on a single charge and a fast charge time. You can cruise the roads worry-free. It has three charging options to choose from, including a portable charging kit for when you're on the go. Lease the Prologue today for as low as $229 per month. Visit Piazza Honda in Philadelphia, Pottstown, Springfield, Reading, or Langhorne for details, and shop online anytime at PiazzaHonda.com.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Cash Patel and Dan Bongino now heading up the FBI. That news coming down late last night as Bongino has been named the deputy director underneath Cash Patel. We're also going to get to this COVID story and also Trump gutting the entire USAID workforce. 2,000 employees over the weekend and pretty much shutting things down late on Sunday night. But Dawn, I want to get your thoughts on what I think was really the biggest story yesterday coming out of the news cycle, at least in the early portion of the day, as all the Sunday morning shows were on. And we find out that not only did MSNBC have to settle a $30 million lawsuit with a doctor in which many people, including Rachel Maddow, were defaming a doctor over the first Trump administration with what did not occur in reality, versus also what happened yesterday with Joy Reid essentially getting doged by Comcast, as her show will come to an end at this point sometime this week, I believe.
Yeah, and so think about that, that getting doged is something that all of us in the private sector, that, and like you said, with full compassion and empathy, I say this, that we all in the private sector, we deal with this every single day. Which is why, and I'm number one, as far as the NBC lawsuit or any lawsuit of media being held accountable, shame on anybody who defamed a doctor and said that that's horrible to say that this doctor was involved in hysterectomies of women, that was Hitler-esque, etc. Think about our first segment where we started out. I was hesitant to even report a story because it was out on social media. And I said, allegedly, the Eagles have privately held a vote to not go to the White House. And I kept saying allegedly because I'm hesitant to report something that I don't have official confirmation of. Now, nobody's going to, you know, be thought, I don't know. I would just say, look at that story, a sports and business local story, as opposed to basically saying that a doctor is an evil killer, mm-hmm. a maniacal individual, and not making sure that you have all your I's dotted and your T's crossed. Shame on them. I'm surprised they didn't settle for more money.
Yeah.
As far as Joy Reid, you know, she's somebody who that's probably the end of her contract. They're spinning off. I know that everybody wants to say it's because of the politics. Yeah, I would say that her time has come and gone, perhaps, but also because media is changing. Some of these big contracts, unless you can prove your worth, we're going to see more and more of this. Hoda Kotb, my former colleague from Wink TV, way back in the day, we started together where, you know, we now have Tony Bruno is at Wink. Mm-hmm. But that was, you know, Hoda Kotb just retired from the Today Show. Reportedly, all the networks are saying to their, you know, even biggity big stars and co-stars, hey, you know, it's a different day and we're cutting.
I also wanted to say this. This is not necessarily about Joy Reid, but again, with a lot of these massive salaries on network television, mm-hmm. and you've been there, Dawn. You've worked for these networks. You understand their inner workings. But I'm just looking at it from a following standpoint, a fan base standpoint. Outside of, and I'm going to be objective here, I don't think Rachel Maddow is great, but I do think she gets a gathering, a following. There are people, probably white liberal women in their 50s and 60s that, you know, show up to protest and sing stupid songs, they would probably follow Rachel Maddow wherever she goes. Mm-hmm. I think that's fair to say.
Yeah.
We've seen that with Tucker Carlson on the other side of the political television arena. Is it amazing to you that guys like Chuck Todd, Don Lemon, Joy, I'll lump Joy Reid into this, that you can be on network television for 10, 15, 20, 25 years, and the moment you leave, I think that those people will realize that it's over for them. I don't think like Don Lemon or Joy Reid or Chuck Todd or Jim Acosta, if they launch their own show on their own independent platform like YouTube or on X, I don't think they would have remotely the following, and I damn sure know they would not make the same revenue and salaries they were getting from their employer. How is that possible that you can be on network television for a quarter century and have nobody that likes you? Do you find that odd?
I think
I really do.
I mean, I think a piece of this is that the whole era of we hate Trump and we're going to bash and embarrass and out those MAGA evil people, it's over. It's over.
It is, but
thank
it doesn't.
God, it's over.
It doesn't appear that MSNBC is changing their agenda.
They will.
Greg sent an email or a story last night in our follow up to the Big Take email with the shuffling of the lineup. It looks like Jen Psaki will get more prime time. Now she won't be as downright obnoxious as Joy Reid, but if you think MSNBC is sliding anywhere further right, I think that's a miscalculated step.
No, but Jen Psaki, I think Greg Psaki has a smarter, more professional approach, and she's an insider, so she gets great guests, and she's going to talk about the Democrat strategy, the D.C. strategy. She's an insider in the Beltway, so I think that she's, I mean, I look at her to see what she's saying. I think she's very smart. I look, that clip that you played with Joy Reid.
Oh, white mayonnaise on Wonder Bread?
Yeah, I mean, that one is, well, there are so many, right? But to have somebody who's just apathetic, obtuse, racist, to say that a former president and candidate for president who just averted being assassinated by like an eighth of an inch, and to compare that to anything, that was just cringe.
Yeah. 855-839-1210. If you would like to jump in to join the conversation, we'll come back. We'll get some news from Dawn to kick off hour number two. And then we're going to get into the COVID story that I saw on Thursday night into Friday morning from Bloomberg. And now other people are starting to pick up on it and report on it. We'll give you the good and also why it's not really a cause for concern as far as fear goes, at least in my eyes. We'll do that when we continue hour two of Kale and Company on a busy, busy Monday.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.